This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, Hughes
Rosenbaum, or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello?
What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Yes. ENN is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. I am not Peter Rosenberg. I am Anthony Pusick. And as always, like Peter does, I will say good evening to Alan.
You guys are massive debaters, too, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay. Peter, wow. How are you today? Michael.
Sex.
And Don.
Getting peed on is not the worst thing in the world.
All right, we're off to a good start today.
Oh, boy.
Alan.
This is a proud moment for Fordham right there.
This is a very serious, there's a very serious thing going on in London. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Have you heard of the arsonist that is running around London?
The arsonist? Is that a new Marvel character?
No, no. There was an arson on Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who it was?
No.
It was a tortoise.
Excuse me?
Yes, a 45-year-old reptile was left home alone in Essex on Wednesday afternoon when he knocked over a heat lamp, setting his bedding alight, the Essex County Fire and Rescue Service said. And if you haven't seen it, it's on the New York Post. There's the picture of the tortoise being rescued, and he does not look too happy.
No?
No.
He doesn't look happy. I would imagine that the homeowner probably wasn't too happy either.
The fire service says the 45-year-old tortoise might not look angry, but it's his lucky day. After he set his bedding alight, his neighbor heard the smoke alarm and called us. I guess the tortoise was not fast enough to get out of the house.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a sloth.
So that's how we wanted to start this. I figured we get a little tortoise arson. I feel
animal,
like we don't have enough
animals involved. A tortoise, yes, an animal arson. That's leaving your it was a candle they let. They left lit a candle at home.
A heat lamp.
Oh, that was that's
the tortoise knew what it was doing. Clearly,
a heat lamp.
We have to get more information from the tortoise. The tortoise has not been open to comment yet. I'm sure we will get to him eventually.
A heat lamp, oil lamp, like one of those things that generates heat, like in a house. Yeah. All right. Not smart.
So, two more pertinent things. Going to the Knicks and Nets game last night, before the game.
Who won that game, by the way? I forgot.
I believe
Kyrie,
it was...
do you remember who won that game?
Oh, no.
Kyrie, do you... No, do you need a reminder?
Yeah, you grow up.
Do you need a reminder? I could give you a reminder.
Wind Horse at Sea!
No, he was not there.
The New York Jets!
They did not win that game either.
Goodbye!
No,
sir.
No.
Please clap after this. I hate the Knicks and don't care. Are you really?
No. Was not Masai either. Now, it was a team that does do a lot of winning in that building, but it was not the Islanders. Yes, it was. it was the Knicks won that game. Hey, you know how many 2-point field goals the Nets made in that game? Do you remember?
Two?
Yeah, no.
Eight.
Do you know that sounds like a lot, but do you know that the last team to make that few 2-pointers?
I have a feeling you said it in the first segment.
Did I? I don't.
I also think you're going to remind us.
It's so long ago that it's probably a whole new audience.
Long ago in the show, or long ago as in this hasn't happened in a very long time?
Well, 1950 was the last time an NBA team was that poor from two. You know.
Amen.
1950, before shot clock.
Blame it on the eggnog.
Is that what we're going to do now? It's going to be eggnog, so we're blaming on the eggnog. Okay. Is that the excuses we make? Is that why Kyrie's been out so long? You know, that eggnog, man, it just messes up your shoulder.
Hey, we're waiting for April.
Yeah, we'll see. See if you're there. You got to get to April, Sonny. That's all I'm saying. All right, so now we cleared that up. He knows now who. I just want to make sure Kyrie remembered who won that game.
You guys good? You're okay?
Yeah,
is it going to have to separate you two before the show's over? Okay. All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
But it was pointed out, and we figured this out once, I believe it was John Hines got fired,
mm-hmm.
That Kenny Atkinson is the longest tenured head coach in New York now. Which speaks a lot to everything that's been happening in New York sports. And Kenny was asked about it before the game last night.
I know your time is like ticking.
you know, this is, you know, I get it. So thanks for bringing that up.
I was going to say, does that make you feel good, or does that put you on edge?
It puts me on edge. I'm a nervous person by nature, so I'm just it's like, man, this is going to be tough. Tough business, tough town. You know, I think expectations are have been raised. I get to business. I watch it in other sports. I know, like I said, I know my time will eventually come and just do the best I can till that happens.
When did Kenny's voice become like Brian Cashman's? I was going to get to like he just, there's nothing there now.
Like, it felt like that was really awkward for him to respond to.
Yeah. Well, how would you feel? Like, all right, so you're first in line.
Very, very awkward.
Like heavy is the head that wears the crown. Like, the one thing I guess you never want to be is the longest tenured anything. Cause it's sort of like, all right, you're due. You know, now again, I don't see, look, if they didn't fire him after 48 and 116 in the first two seasons, you're not firing him now. You know, so he's got some time. He's done a great job there. He really has. But you know what he's had? He's had ownership and a front office with patience. You know, they've had patience. So, by the way, I was told by someone on Twitter that reptiles require a heat lamp to maintain their body temperature. So, you know, but humans require a house that doesn't burn down. So we're going to have to like rethink the whole heat lamp thing when we leave the house.
You see what we do? We're bringing everybody together with that story.
Agree. Yeah, we're learning too. It's all about learning. A little education.
So this is a story from 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. It's actually today. It's today. Le'Veon Bell is getting another HGH test. That's what's confusing me, because this is now the sixth random drug test that the NFL has
so
put
random.
Him under. I'm going to put that in air quotes
for
our radio audience. They love that. Random drug test, and Le'Veon Bell was asked about it today.
It seems kind of odd. That's crazy, ain't it?
That's six, right?
It felt like they're trying to clone me or something. Not for real. I guess I'm that lucky, huh? I'm that lucky to get chose every time. Not for real. I do. I probably play the lottery.
They're trying to clone me, he said.
Now, Bell
we'll
also
clone you
said,
and then pay you less.
Now, Bell tweeted out the picture of the request, added the NFL saying, "Bet I don't," with three crying with laughter emojis. Now, of course, denying a drug test in the NFL could lead to a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to argue that Le'Veon doesn't have a point here, because this is the sixth time this year that he has been, quote, randomly chosen to be drug tested. Something's awry here. It seems like
it was like when J.R. Smith used to get randomly tested as well.
Well,
you know, like it's just there's certain players. Like, are they not sending him a message? Like, we are watching. Like, don't even think for a minute you're going to get away with it. Which means there's some reputation there or something.
And keep in mind,
what is this about? I mean, they're almost harassing him at this point.
Back on November 20th, when he got the fifth one, he said, "I'm not giving the NFL any more of my blood."
Yes.
And he's sticking to his word, because just a week, month later, I should say, he's back at it again. But Alan, you brought this story to my attention. And actually, I saw this tweet by Anthony Beauvillier a couple of days ago. He tweeted at Anna Kendrick.
From the Islanders, let everybody know.
Yes, from the New York Islanders.
Beauvillier, Tito, from the Islanders.
Which, of course, anybody saying, you know, shooting their shot with Anna Kendrick, you just hear.
Well, you might also, though, in some situations, you might also get this.
Have you ever shot that shot?
But this time, Anna Kendrick responded because of
What?
Yes.
All right, so Beauvillier tweets at her. He just says hi to her, right? Just randomly, out of nowhere, shoots her a tweet. And the responses, by the way, did you see the replies? And
That's what got him.
Read some of the replies, because those are the funny ones. What fans did for him to get her to respond. This shows you, you know, this is like when you, this is what good friends do. When you have good people around you, when people care about you, your boys are with you. This is what they do for you. Read some of these replies.
I mean, it just started with a simple hi. And then, you know, there's people saying, I love the hockey world coming together. And you have to keep reading and you go, wait, coming together with what? What happened here? And you see people going, Anthony, remember when you saved those kids from the burning building? You have verified people doing it. You have just regular fans doing it. I mean.
No, there's some really good replies. Just hilarious about, like, making him out to be the greatest human ever just so she'd read them and then want to respond.
Danny Allstar, Danny Heatley fan account, which is always a fun one, says, hey man, thanks for letting me use your gear during that fundraiser you held for the animal shelter to save puppies.
This is what good friends do.
And now with Anna Kendrick's response of, these replies have been my entertainment for the last 2 days. Thank you for regaling me with the true tales of this man's heroism. Somebody tweeted out, here's the schedule for January. So everybody's trying to make it happen here.
We got to make this happen.
Remember, Bo, when you saved me from a burning building, cooked me a 7-course meal, and taught me 8 languages? That was a great day. The kittens that he saved from the shelter are doing great. It's tremendous. And, you know, it's always nice to have fun. And, you know, the NHL catches some slack for not being the most popular and their players not having a personality. But a lot of these young guys coming in are giving it a great personality.
All right, now, none of this matters if there's no date. None of this matters if they don't get together. Anna Kendrick needs to be at Nassau Coliseum. She needs to do the yes, 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 jersey on. Like,
you like that? You like that?
She needs to be. I mean, this is a thing that has to happen by playoff time, and maybe, just maybe, it could be a little magic on a little Stanley Cup run. Your thoughts?
I mean, we could have everything else happen on the Stanley Cup run. I'd be fine with.
Well,
that,
I'm just feeling like this is a nice story that can't end with like, okay, it just ends here with a tweet. Like, come on, we're all rooting for this. We want this to happen. This is important. He needs a date. And I think there's plenty of wonderful places that he can take Anna Kendrick on Long Island where she might enjoy her time here and might say, you know, I see a future here. I see a brand new beautiful building in Belmont. I like horses. I see winning. I mean, I see maybe a Stanley Cup.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
I mean, you never know. Some good stuff could happen, all, you know, and then you have it, right? What do they say at the beginning of the wedding? It all started with a tweet. It'd be so beautiful. I'm excited.
That's where we're at in the 21st century.
Deep Eddy Vodka was named after the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gathered for good times that never seemed to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled and made with real, all-natural ingredients and fruit juice. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
I know that we do this on what's that? Oh, audio files. That's what it is. ENN and audio files gets confused every now and again.
How dare you?
But here's what we have to do. We have to.
Give him the gas face.
That's right. That's right.
It wasn't even for me, but I guess now it kind of is. So the Baltimore Sun, Karen Price put out, I don't even know if you call it a story, just a letter, a grievance of some kind.
Uh-huh.
The holiday season was in full swing with high hopes for the Ravens when I read that Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, gifted Rolexes to his offensive line.
Awesome.
So disappointing.
What?
That in an age where professional athletes are making an insane amount of money, he couldn't have donated to charities and done it in the name of his offensive line, then treated his teammates to dinner. Those players can all afford their own Rolexes. So it's very discouraging that someone didn't give him a little guidance. It just flaunts the amount of money they make and don't know what to do with. Sorry, Lamar. I am not such a big fan now.
Bless your heart.
I mean, Karen.
I don't really.
Give him the gas face.
Yeah. Karen. I mean, Karen. Karen.
And poor Karen.
Karen.
Which is the.
And it's just.
The butt of plenty of memes already.
Well, it's already. It's just face. So. The fact that her name is Karen is so Karen.
Yes.
It's so Karen of her. But it just goes back to. When you don't understand something, you probably should take a moment to say, that must be like some type of thing happening in that world that I don't understand. And I need to understand what it's about. You know, not look at it from my point of view, which is, you know, is absent of what you need to know about sports and teammates and, you know, tradition and things you do.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You know what? I was going to buy you guys incredible watches for Christmas for all the work you've done for me on the night show. But you know what I did instead? I donated to charity. So thanks anyway for the work you've done.
Didn't Ezekiel Elliott gift his entire offensive line like John Deere's?
Oh, yeah.
Like giant John Deere tractors?
No. I think Aaron Rodgers did that. Didn't Zeke do something a little different? But anyways, this has been going on forever. And it's a way to thank the guys who are unsung heroes, who give up their body.
It's the definition of protection.
Yeah.
Because these guys
literally
do protect these guys
I'm not
from getting
great
really hurt.
Without you. Like, that's essentially what they're saying. So it, to me, is a great example to young people on how to appreciate the shine you get and the people that allow you to get that shine. The people that do all these things behind the scenes or maybe unheralded things that they do that allow you to get shine. In other words, it's a great example of how you are supposed to never forget those who help you be as the best you can be. Right? So while it's, well, we all know that giving to charity is very important, there is also something about, like, if he gave them just basic gifts, it's not a story. But you do something like that and it's significant, so now it becomes a story, and now it also gives you that, the one thing that we don't spend enough time on sports, thank you, Karen, because this ruins it, we don't spend enough time pointing out the best thing about sports is camaraderie, right, is the family thing, is the teamwork, and recognizing sacrifice of a teammate for the success of the team. So that's what that's about. I give you a gift that is so extravagant, it shows you how much I care, and everybody will hear about it, and they'll remember that it's not one player that gets all the shine. That I am, Lamar Jackson said, I'm great because of you guys and because of what you guys sacrifice physically, how hard it is to be an offensive lineman in the NFL. So the hardest, it's one of the hardest positions in sports, period. Why? Because not only are you getting beat up or you're literally in a fight every single snap, but you also are ignored. The only time people talk about an offensive line is when?
When they're bad.
When it's bad. When you give up a sack, they look right at, who was it? Or, you know, holding. And the poor guy gets his number called out. And there's the camera. Right, now you know who I am. Like, so those guys work so hard and get zero credit. The block that leads to the 15-yard touchdown run. But we only care about the touchdown run. Not the guy that almost snapped his ACL spinning quickly enough to get that one extra block. Or the guard that pulls to get to the outside to get that one block that opens it up. We don't notice that stuff unless you really know football. So this is just a way to acknowledge teammates who don't get enough shine. That's why, Karen, they do what they do.
We're going to have to move on from Karen because...
But I just hope that people like Karen actually educate themselves instead of just be the busybody. I need to say what I got to say. Because we have too much of that. We have too many people. I need to say this and you need to hear it. No, Karen, I don't need to hear it.
You want to turn to a positive story, Alan?
Let's do that.
Or a happier story. Let's say happier.
Sure.
And it's got some sadness in it, of course. But mm-hmm. And you know this story, Alan. You're the one that showed this to me. It has to do with Star Wars in some capacity. Students who saved classmates from shooting honored as a Jedi. This occurred in Charlotte, North Carolina. A North Carolina college student who police hailed as a hero. He prevented more injuries.
This is UNC Charlotte, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. After a gunman opened fire in a classroom, was actually immortalized as a Jedi by the production company Lucasfilm for the Star Wars franchise.
I love this. Yeah.
The kid's name is Riley Howell. Mm-hmm. He was described as a huge Star Wars fan.
His girlfriend put up a series of tweets, correct?
Yes, that's how I saw it. Mm-hmm. And now you're finding out a little bit more of the story behind it. He was a big Star Wars fan. He couldn't wait to see the movie. But he also was hailed, as I said, as a hero by police for preventing more injuries in that shooting at the college he was in. Lucasfilm was tipped off by this, and they plan to honor him in a forthcoming book, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, The Visual Dictionary. So they actually named a Jedi Master and historian, Riley Howell, many of the earliest accounts of exploration and codifications of the Force. Lucasfilm actually wrote to the family and said, Riley's courage and selflessness brings out the Jedi in all of us. We hope that you may rejoice in his memory, and we join you in honoring his life and his example. As a small tribute, our story group has incorporated a reimagining of Riley's name as a character in the Star Wars galaxy. The Force will be with Riley and all of you always.
That's how great is that? I mean, that's so awesome. I mean, it's kind of sad that he doesn't get to see it, but it is a cool thing that they did, that Lucasfilms did, that they decided to do, and it's a way for the family to somewhat try to heal a little bit there. So, you know, I love that story. It really is a terrific story, and it's a very heartfelt and heartwarming series of tweets that she did put out talking about this and telling this story. So it's a great story to share, and I can't wait till I can get to that point where I can actually talk about Episode 9. So everybody please go see it so I can talk about it. I got a lot to say.
Yeah, with the return of Jar Jar. Moving on.
Why
we have,
don't do that to people.
I just wanted to make sure if anybody didn't hear it first, they get to hear it again.
They're not. You're going to get people that not want to go.
Everybody
around.
Go see it. Everyone make sure they go see what happened to Baby Yoda today. Mandalorian, Disney Plus. Go watch. It's been an amazing show.
So good.
It's been fantastic. Star Wars nuts like me. Kai is looking at me like, what are you talking about? And it's okay.
Just got to get it at our level. That's all, Kai. You know, got to make some shots in the 2-point area, and you got to watch Mandalorian.
Wow.
You know?
I thought we were past this.
Shoot higher than 30% against the Knicks.
For the record, this didn't start at the show. This started like 9 o'clock this morning. Was it 8 o'clock this morning?
About that, yes. Around when I got up, the first person I needed to text was you. There was no doubt where I was going. I knew you'd be working with me today, and I was like, all right, we're just gonna have fun with this all day.
But see, we've all worked together for so long. We all knew we had to go NBA next. And it's something that you teased earlier, Alan. You said you were right about something. The NBA ratings for Christmas Day were down 10%.
Overall, 10%.
Overall. Yeah. Now, of course, the 5 games on Christmas.
It's too many. I just think there's too many games. Doubleheader would be fine. 5 games is way too much. It's too much to consume. I mean, I'm busy all day. You know, there was 2 games that I could watch closely. Lakers-Clippers was definitely one of them. Sixers-Bucks was the other. Other than that, too busy.
And what's interesting is the 2 that everyone thought wouldn't be the most compelling, the underdog won.
I know.
The Warriors won. Yeah. And it was the Pelicans that won against Denver in
that
the nightcap.
Super late
right?
game that no one watched.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.